Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome again to the UFO Files. This is Jerry Pippin, and I'm in Oklahoma, and we have from Secaucus, New Jersey, our webmaster and executive producer for the UFO Files, Larry Dickin. How are you, Larry?
I'm fine, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Now, George Ritter is on the line from Ohio. And, George, do you live in Fostoria or where?
I live in Fostoria. I moved over here from Finley about 20 or 21 months ago.
And, George, of course, we've talked about on the air quite a lot. A lot of people understand what George does. You got some great pictures, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But first of all, Larry, I guess he actually contacted you at the website with some of these photos right off the bat, and we've decided some of these photos are so good we're going to give them an entire page, correct?
That's right, Jerry. We have on our UFO Files page our guest gallery, and we have at the bottom there, there's a little question mark for an open picture, and George's picture is going to appear there shortly, and that will lead you over to a page where you'll find this interview, plus a lot of pictures that George has sent us, and I'm sure you and George want to talk about those pictures.
Yeah, we are. George, welcome to the show, by the way.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate what you're doing here, and this needs to have a serious look. We need some scientists that'll get out of the box and admit that they don't know what these things are either.
You're one of the interesting things, it appears that you have a portal right there in your backyard, so to speak.
Yes, it does appear that way.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about that? You and I have talked about it before, but how did you discover this was happening? And I know George Feiler spent some time down at your place, looked it all over, and was very impressed.
Well, George and his wife came down to visit and to investigate what I was doing. And I shot some film while they were here, and we got good results with it. But I had told George that I had seen some of these things, very large ones, go down behind the silo and never come up again at fantastic speed. And then I talked to a retired highway patrolman named Dave Burlisle down in Mount Sterling, Ohio. And he not only has seen the same thing, but him and another highway patrolman investigated an area of a field where they saw this thing go in, and they couldn't find one leaf or broken blade of grass turned over or nothing. And there's evidently, I don't know if it's as much a portal as it is there's dimensional factors going on here, maybe multi or ultra-dimensional.
I mean, these things actually go right into the ground, correct?
I don't see them come up. I have seen them come up from the ground. But this spring and summer, I'm going to concentrate on catching one half in the ground and half out. If I can do that, then that might get some attention to me, you know. I could stand here all day long and tell people what I've seen. And unless they see it on film or for themselves, they don't believe it. It's just, that's the way people are. Some people believe and some don't. And
we were talking a little earlier, Larry and I, were about your equipment, and evidently you have professional older broadcast equipment that's automated. Is that right?
It's completely automated. All I have to do is turn it, all I can do with it is turn it on and zoom in or out. Everything else, it's got sensors and eyes, and everything else is completely, totally automatic.
Your pictures basically are of craft, correct? You don't have entities as such.
No, not yet. I've seen them, but I don't have any pictures of any.
Oh, you have seen some?
Well, I was
been an abductee all my life.
It started when I was age 5 that I can remember. You know, I don't have too many memories before age 5. But that's when that started. And, you know, people just kept telling me that I didn't see what I had telling them I saw. And so I just kept my mouth shut until I got into the Army. And when I came home from Vietnam, I got put in an experimental command called Combat Development Experimentation Command, which was headquartered out of Fort Ord, California at the time. But our exercises and our experiments did not take place at Fort Ord, nor did they take place at Hunter Liggett. They were somewhere between Camp Robert and China Lake, as the closest I can narrow it down. Because Camp Roberts is way, way east of Hunter Liggett.
Yeah, Camp Roberts is, I'm trying to remember exactly where that is.
That's past all of that. We're out through, in there, past Rockwood, King City. And I thought it was kind of strange. The first time they took us out, they'd get us up at 4 o'clock in the morning and load us on buses after chow, and we would, it would take 2 hours to get to this place by bus. And they told me it was 80 miles, and I couldn't figure out why it took 2 hours to go 80 miles. And another person that was abducted there 5 years after I was, I'll just say his name was Grindstaff. I cannot talk about his story because he had signed some agreements and oaths, and he was abducted from the same place. I never signed any agreements. They tried to cram a top secret crypto clearance down my throat before I left Vietnam and told me it would be good for my service, you know, for continued service, and I told them my service is over with in 6 months. I don't meet that clearance. Or I wouldn't be able to talk about this now.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that abduction here and that story. When did you realize that it probably had happened? Right afterwards, or?
Immediately, because there was 4 of us on guard duty. And we had walked our post one time and met back at this one area where we started to, you know, discuss how we were going to break up the night and which area, so we didn't have to look at the same thing all the time, you know. And it wasn't so boring that way, I guess. And while we were standing there, I saw this, I'll just call it it looked about like the brightness of a cigarette in the night sky. But it was way up high, it was way far away over the mountain range. I can't remember the name of the range, but this thing got bigger and brighter. And it started leaving off an orange fluorescent trail. And while it was doing that, it dropped off 5 little ones out of the bottom of it. It appeared. As soon as the 5 little ones dropped out of there, they got the V formation. The big one went back to its normal size and stopped leaving the trail, which left a fluorescent cloud in the night sky, and proceeded on from west to east. So while we're watching these other 5 objects in a V formation coming at us at a pretty good clip, I said, hey, you guys, these things are coming right for us. And we just stood there more in awe than anything, you know. And when they got about 1/4 mile away from us, you could tell how big they were. And that's when I heard this kind of electronic blip. No, the only way I can explain it would say if you would let water drip into a pool of water, you know, at regular intervals, every few seconds or every 2 seconds, when that hits the water and goes blip, amplify that and add an echo to it with kind of an electronic sound to it. And as soon as we heard that, we were already looking up because they were almost right on top of us by then. We couldn't move, none of us. I mean, we could move our eyes, but all we could do was look up, and they got right over us, and they were
orange-red looking. I mean, I thought, you know, we were going to get burned up there, but I never felt any heat from these things. And something that's
nothing,
50 to 75 feet across, glowing orange like that, should have given off the heat, I would have thought.
And, did you get any idea who these entities were, or where they were from, or anything?
Well, when we were standing there looking at them, the next thing I know, I'm flat on my back, and at one point...
When you were flat on your back, were you knocked down, or do you know?
I was on this crest, one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got from the ground to the crest, or from the crest back to the ground. But I knew that I was on a table naked because I had seen the tips of my toes and they were moving me or something. And I couldn't figure out how they got my boots off and my stuff so fast because I had my boots laced up, double knotted and tied. You know, combat boots are pretty hard to unlace and tie in quick time. So I'm laying there and there's this funny kind of light in there. I mean, it was really bright. You could hardly see anything. But it had a strange hue to it, like what the color of a black light might give off, you know?
Uh-huh.
Something like that. And there was kind of a foggy mist.
Really something out of a, kind of like out of a horror movie there. The mist and the black light. that sounds pretty spooky.
You know, I've heard people say that they've seen inside these things and seen that color light before, too. What it's for, I don't know, but it didn't make it made their skin look darker than it was. But I was laying there trying to figure out what was going on, and this pretty tall gray just, like, stepped into the light. And when I saw him, I couldn't talk. I just thought to myself, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And immediately, I mean instantly, this voice comes back in my head and says, you're not going to die. You're going to be just fine. We're going to do some things.
So evidently it was able to read your thoughts.
Exactly. And we're going to do some things, and we're going to return you to where we got you from. So that's when I start asking all kinds of questions about where they were from. I got kind of a general answer that I think everybody probably gets on that, because the first thing they wanted to know was, did I know where I was in the universe? And of course, I had to say, well, I'm on planet Earth. But, you know, then, well, where is that? Well, I can't point it out to you. And I said, there was no point in them telling me where they were from, and that satisfied me. But I asked them if they believed in God. And they said, yes, they believe in a God. But they don't believe in God like we believe in God. They believe in a universal Father. So, you know,
So before you knew it, you were into an intellectual discussion about spiritualism.
Well, for a few minutes, anyway. And then, you know, it kind of, you feel pretty stupid when you don't even know where your planet is in the universe. So I asked them, you know, probably a lot of questions, and they finally told me I asked too many questions, you know. And then this bigger gray bent over the table and put his brow right up to mine and started looking in my eyes. And
when they were looking at your eyes, were they using some kind of instrument or something?
No. This guy was this bigger gray, just was using those big black eyes.
Yes.
To look into my mind, I think. But he did, because instantly he knew everything I knew, everything I'd ever learned. It's just like the movie Taken, where that little girl says, all your memories and all your fears.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's how they manipulate people. Once they've interfaced with them and know all their memories and know what their worst fears are, they can scare the hell out of them, they can scare the heck out of them anytime they want to, just by showing them what they're the most afraid of.
In other words, bringing up a phobia.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. So that's the way they manipulate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people can be manipulated that way, but most of the people that need to be manipulated try to fight. I never tried to fight because I never felt I was in any real danger. I did at first, but they calmed my fears so quickly that I felt right at home with. So, you know, the taller one looked in my eyes and did that, and I'll tell you, it was a strange feeling. And then there was a couple of them down, smaller ones, seemed like they did all the work, you know, down at my feet, and I could feel them, you know, pulling my toes apart. And the only thing I could figure why they were interested in my feet was maybe because, you know, my feet were very calloused for being in the infantry. And then one of them moved up to my right side, and he gave me an injection in the right thigh.
Was it like an injection with a regular hypodermic needle type thing?
That's what it felt like. I couldn't see it. I couldn't raise my head up. So I'd had injections, plenty of injections before in the Army, and I know what they felt like. That's what it felt like. So then after I got the injection in the right thigh, they did something to my groin area, which I didn't really appreciate them fooling around like that, but there was nothing I could do about it. And then one of them approached me from the left side, and I saw his arm start to come up, and then I thought, it felt like he stuck his hand right inside my left chest cavity and did something. You know, I don't know what he did. And then he withdrew. It didn't hurt. But I knew he had done that. I don't know how it was possible. But they did that, too. So they're so far, you know, it's like a game of smoke and mirrors for us. We can't see the mirrors for the smoke, or you can't see the smoke for the mirrors. It's like a catch-22. So anyway, and they put some kind of like a bittersweet metallic taste and stuff in my mouth. And I asked them if I could have a drink of water because it tastes bad and it was bitter. And they said, no, I couldn't have a drink of water. So then this needle got shoved up, way up into the left side of my nostril, my left nostril. Which, it didn't really hurt bad, but it was annoying. So I can't say these guys hurt me, you know, with anything that would have been malicious or anything like that. They just did not do that. So then the next thing I know, I'm fully dressed again, and I'm being led into another room. But in this room was what I thought was either God or some kind of an angel, or at least some kind of a deity, because it was just the most spectacular, beautiful, love-giving entity that I've ever been around in my life before or since.
Did this deity, did it have a form, or was it?
It was more like a goldish-white ball of light, but it emanated these white, goldish rays that just went right through you, and I never felt so high in all my life.
Were you frightened at this point, or was there more of a peaceful, calm feeling?
It was calm. It was, I felt right at home. I felt right at home then.
Uh-huh.
So then, after I had this conversation with this thing, which went into a lot of detail. It told me that they were going to send me back and that I would not remember any of this. At one point, I said, oh, yes, I will. I'm going to remember everything that just happened. And I did.
George Ritter, when you were in this room, it sounds like that light and the feeling is almost like an after-death experience that people talk about.
I've had an after-death experience.
A near-death experience.
There wasn't anything like that.
It wasn't.
Experience. I left my body and went through a tunnel and stopped at a light and was told I had to go back because it wasn't my time yet. In this experience, I was led into the room and the being was there waiting for me. And I wasn't out of body. I was in my body, fully awake, wide awake, and conscious. Enough to communicate. And how I could communicate with them telepathically and get through, I still don't know.
Well, this has always interested me, this telepathic communication. Do you actually hear a voice, or is it just a thought there?
No, what I heard was like a soft, monotonic voice in my head.
Uh-huh.
It's like mind-to-mind communication. But I was thrilled with being able to communicate that way because it didn't take any time at all, and it was instant. So, there was no need for language or talking or anything else, imagine.
When this experience was over, what kind of feeling did you have about it? I mean, did you understand it at the time, or did they tell you anything particularly why you were chosen, or?
No. They didn't, that I recall, I don't remember them telling me that I was chosen for anything. At that time I didn't feel like chosen. I felt more like victim.
Uh-huh.
Until I got past a few seconds of fear, and then I was okay. But then when they put me back on the ground, and I still don't know how they did that, the other three guys are standing right there in the same place, looking up. And I looked back up, and they were gone. And I said, "Where'd they go? Which way'd they go?"
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, and they, we don't know. Do you remember what just happened? And they couldn't remember nothing. But I didn't see them on the ship, and I don't think they ever left the ground. I think they just got, Jerry. These people can dilate time. I'm sure that's what happened because what took 3 minutes took 3 hours. Because as soon as I saw the first object in the sky, I looked across the street at a building with a big clock on it, and it was about 2:50. As soon as they disappeared, I turned around and looked over there again, and it said 2 a.m.
So that is 3 hours.
Yes, and I told those guys, I said, "Hey, something is wrong."
And the other fellows didn't remember much.
No, they could remember seeing them and them approaching them. But it seems like after that, they were just flipped off or something. I could bring it up, and they'd start to remember. And if I'd wait for an answer, they had forgotten what they were going to say before they could answer me. So, since we were on guard duty, I said, "Well, by our oath we took when we came into service to protect and serve the United States of America, and by our general orders for guard duty, we have to report this to the sergeant of the guard," which was at that night my platoon sergeant, who was Sergeant Palmer.
There have been lots of reports during the Vietnam War of encounters, and I don't know if you heard any of those stories or not. You alluded to something like that at the beginning.
Yes, I've heard of that because I didn't know it until just about a year ago, but I found out there were sightings around the Pleiku area where I was up in the mountains. But we never heard about them. I did see a strange event one night of a brilliant flashing light that was like a giant flash tube going off in the sky about 5 or 6 times. And I thought, I don't hear any airplane motors or nothing. And why would they be up there taking? We counted the photos, at night. And especially they were
between us and the base camp, which was about 40 miles from it. But I read that somewhere and heard it on a program just this year that that happened to play too. And then I related another story one time that I had picked up from the Marines, who had actually brandished their weapons and shot the saucer up on the DMZ. And when the bullets hit it, it just sounded like a bonk, 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 you know, like it metal had metal. But nothing ever came of those reports. In my opinion, Jerry and Larry, there is a cover-up of untold proportions going on here. I'm not under any security oath, so I'm not breaking any law. I can say right now that I think that when I was in the Army, that I think those people lied continually all the time and covered things up. I think it's just as dirty as politics. I've seen it firsthand. And I just don't care anymore. My purpose is one thing, and that's to tell the truth. And if I can get that done, then they can kill me.
then your feeling is that somebody in the government knows a heck of a lot more than they're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Why would my platoon sergeant, after I told him what had happened, tell me that his best advice to me was to keep my mouth shut? He had seen these things out there before, and other people had too. And everything would be better off if I just forgot about it. And I said, "You're forgetting something, Sergeant Palmer. I was on guard duty. I'm bound to report by my oath, by my general order. I was a good soldier, and I took my orders seriously, you know." So it just seemed like you're running into one brick wall after another, and that's what they do to people who don't want to jump on the party bandwagon and follow the party line of lies, which I did not do, so they punished me by putting me in the cycle.
Now, you know, George, you lived in Ohio now, in this particular location, 22 months or something?
About 20, 21 months.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, you come across the UFOs again. And that one picture we have on our website you sent us of the object behind the trees is just incredible.
Yes, I thought so too.
Yeah, it's just do you think there's a connection through your military career and now later after you retired that they're still around you?
I think there's been a connection since before my birth.
Uh-huh.
Or at least at birth.
As far as you know, you don't have an implant or anything like that.
I've never been checked, but most of us do have them. If I've got implants, I want to keep them. That just might be my ticket out of here when the real bad stuff comes down. And it's going to come down.
Pretty incredible story, and it's keeps you on the edge of the chair. And of course, you lived it, so it's got to be even more a dynamic for you. And at least it doesn't seem to be painful for you to tell it.
Not anymore. Not since the night this happened in the desert was when I made up my mind that I'm going to totally accept this, and nobody's going to tell me again. But I didn't see what I saw, and I didn't. What happened didn't happen. So I stuck to my guns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to do. You know, I have no ill feelings towards the United States Army, but I do have ill feelings for, let's say,
certain individuals, perhaps.
Yes, I mean, there's retarded people in the Army just like there are in the street.
Sure.
Some of them have rank.
Yeah, I'm a veteran. I understand what you're saying. I was in the Army too.
And well, you know how they can play on someone if they want to.
That's exactly true.
Yeah, if they want to punish them.
So Yeah, Larry Dickin, you heard the story. You have anything, you know, I get so wrapped up in these stories sometimes I forget some of the obvious questions. Do you have a question?
In listening to this, I find this all very, excuse me, got a little frog in my throat here, all very intriguing, and you know, there's certainly a lot of parallels in what George is saying to the experiences of many people who have been abducted, and I'm sure you know, your experiences have seemed to be, you know, not as traumatic as some, and certainly you know, but you have intimated something here, especially in the last few minutes, is that you know, perhaps there is some darker side to this whole experience for people who have been abducted, and perhaps for the rest of us. You're saying that maybe you're glad you have implants because it might help you in the future, because some not too nice things are going to happen. Do you want to talk about that?
The way I look at it, you know, it doesn't mention rapture in the Bible, but it does say that they're taken away.
Right.
Those people away.
You think that, you know, that some people might be taken away, but, you know, is it because of some pretty bad things that are going to happen here on planet Earth?
Yeah, after we see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you flesh that a little bit for me, George? Is it the usual thing about the, you know, the Sumi waves and the volcanic activity or the meteors crashing, or is it more man-made?
Well, I think the earthquakes, the volcanoes, those sort of things are cyclic, it's normal for the planet, and they happen in cycles of like 26,000 years. So there's going to be some bad things, you know, natural phenomena-wise. But it's our fault as a race that we have raped and pillaged the planet. We're supposed to be the custodians of it. We're supposed to be looking after this planet. We're supposed to be taking care of it.
In other words, we're supposed to be the caretakers,
exactly.
And we're not doing a very good job.
Exactly. So, you know, if these aliens find a few people, or, you know, it says something in the Bible about it taking away of 144,000. I've heard that's a metaphor, but I don't even believe in that word anymore, because that's some Tony's excuse for something he doesn't understand, so he calls it a metaphor. It says right in the Bible, and word for word, believe this, word for word, don't try to interpret it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. And the sons of God came down and found favor with the daughters of man and had children thereof. So, if that's the case, those gods that came down to us, the lesser G gods, I believe there is one, a big God, a reverence, they came down here and with the locals, or they genetically altered whatever was there. They found favor with the women. They had children. They thought, well, look at the Sumerians. My God, they know more about the universe 6,000 years ago than we do now. I mean, they knew 6,000 years ago what color and how many planets were in the entire solar system. And it's written in stone. We didn't know the colors of the planets until recently, within the last, you know, few...
Yeah, that's a good point.
50, 60 years, you know, and the Dogon star of Africa. How did they know about the Dogon star? And where it was in the universe? Because these people have never seen a book, never looked through a telescope. Take the American Indian, who I've been told I'm part Native American, but I'm not going to speak that, but these people have it right on the money. They know about the size, people. and they know that the Sky People are coming back. And they are coming back. So, all I can say is, I'm just trying to tell the truth the way I know it, the way I've seen it happen, and, you know, shame on some of these people that have no regard for anything.
You know, Larry, the more I do these shows, and the more I talk to people who've had these experiences, and being a product of the Bible Belt, you know, born and reared here in Oklahoma, I'm amazed, and George, you might chime in with me on some thoughts on this, but I'm amazed at the undercurrent of religious significance or spiritualism that it seems to be in connection with UFOs. In other words, you seem to be very... you seem to be a different person as these experiences, and it's more of a religious significance. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you, Jerry, when I bought those first two camcorders, I did it for one reason. I was tired of being called a fool. And I was tired of being called a liar. So once I started getting things that there was no doubt about, I invited people one by one to come over and see what I had on film. And I never saw so many open mouths in my life. But people don't even talk to me anymore. It must have scared them because it broke down their little house around them. They can't hide anymore, you know? So there's nothing to hide from. If our government, and it has to be on a governmental basis, or a world, I hate to say world government, I just hate that. But if we would communicate with these aliens and find out what it is they want us to do and ask, beg for help, we'd get it. But no, we have to make deals and get a little technology here and there so we can keep blowing up people on the other side of the planet to get to their wealth. Greed and ego, as all these people know, it's their name. Look at the political parties nowadays. I mean, how can a president be AWOL for a year when he was supposed to be a pilot? How can they tell the awful lies they've told? There's been no weapons of mass destruction found. They went after the oil. Why can't the American people understand this? They're not doing anything to those people. Believe me, I saw what happened in Vietnam. Guys that are older than me saw in Korea. Guys after me have seen it over there. And with the depleted uranium ammunition all our side is using, we're going to have a whole bunch of sick boys coming home real soon. It's a crime.
From George Ritter. And this is Jerry Pippin along with Larry Dick, and you're listening to UFO Files. Larry, I'm not quite sure how much time we have left.
We've got about 15 minutes here.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, about a quarter hour. And George, before you get off today on this program, I think a lot of people take a look at photographs like you have, and they try to find any other reason in the world for them to be there other than the real reason. It's a picture of what's actually there. And I know there's been some controversy going on about some of your pictures on some of the websites. And I just thought I'd give you a chance to, declare that these pictures are real and that they're not fake, and these people that are saying that don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I'll put it this way. You've seen some of my photographs. Have you ever seen an insect or a bird that looks like those?
No, I haven't. A little background, folks. A lot of people say, well, those are insects, or those are dots, or those are light fractures or whatever. Now, Larry and I have talked about that before.
Yeah, believe me, I've captured a million bugs and birds. That's about a whole bunch of UFOs. But for some reason, since it's coming from me, it's not worthy of, you know, even looking at it for some people. The debunkers, they're in their own class, and I'll just leave them there. Jeff Prince has been wonderful to me. James Neff is now trying to put the story together and get some input from scientists and people who know something about this field and show some comparisons. And George Filer and his wife have been more than marvelous. I mean, they came all the way here from New Jersey to see what I was doing. They were interested. They believed in me. And it paid off for them. And George is one fine man.
Yes, he is. And you know, that's one reason I ask at the top of the show about the equipment you're using, so people can understand it's automated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you wanted to fix it, you probably couldn't if you tried.
No, there's no setting for anything. Just zoom.
And the other thing I want to bring up before the program's over is there seems to be a lot of things happening in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's a lady not very far from you that has had some paranormal experiences. ET's actually in her house.
Well, Susan, yeah.
And so, I mean, I wonder sometimes, these ETs, do they concentrate on certain areas, or what's your theory of that? I mean, in other words, here you are, you've had your experiences, and now you're there in Ohio, and you literally have these craft going into the ground at tremendous speeds, and nothing happening. I mean, they just disappear. And I wonder why, you know, in other words, basically, George, what I'm asking is why you? And why your area?
Well, you know, I was getting really good pictures when I was about 15 miles from here over Finley. And I wondered when I bought this place if I was going to be able to do it good over here. Well, I've done fantastic over here. I'm not saying they're following me. I'm just saying they're everywhere. We can't see them. When you look out or look up in the sky, we can't see them because they're so fast. Now, if the Superdome flew by your car going 2,000 miles an hour, do you think you'd see it?
Yeah. And some of these things are humongous.
Yeah.
So basically, your answer is, and it's probably a good answer, is that it's more common than anybody believes.
Than anybody could imagine.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're around us all the time. There's aliens on this planet that work in factories, office buildings, policemen. They're here. They've been here. They look just like us, a lot of them. You know, they might have gray biological, mechanical beings doing the work for them, you know, on certain things.
The one thing I wonder about is I wonder if, even if they know they're aliens. I guess they do.
I think they are us.
Yes. And that's a good catch phrase, and it's probably true. In other words, it's transgenic hibernation or whatever you want to call this. This breeding's been going on for some time, centuries, I guess.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of women on this planet that get pregnant for 90 days, can't figure out what happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Those women are incubators. That's what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, hybrids that can have some of our qualities, keep some of their own, and be raised up somewhere else where it's not a nut house.
Now, back in California there, George Ritter, did they give you a clue about where they were from, or was that important?
Well, it was. They didn't give me a clue. They more or less put it to me like, if you don't know where you are, what good is it going to do to tell you where we're from?
The reason I ask you, human nature being it is, you meet somebody on the street, you find out they're from New York or California or Ohio. I mean, it's pretty much something comes up in the conversation pretty fast. And if I were, and I don't believe I've had an experience like that, but if I were, you know, abducted, and this is, of course, a novice talking who hasn't been, so obviously I don't know what I'm talking about, but it appears to me.
You don't know that you haven't been.
Yeah, it appears to me that I would say, well, where are you from? What brought you here?
Well, I tried. I asked so many questions, they told me that I asked too many questions and wouldn't talk, answer me.
Uh-huh.
You know, imagine, you know, they've got a job to do, too. It's just like they're on their shift and they're going to get their job done and move on. I think it's got something to do with genetics, DNA. If they could just remove greed and ego from human beings, what a wonderful world it would be.
Well, you're absolutely right on that. Larry, we're getting close to the end of the show here. You might as well chime in here toward the last. Got anything to add, any comments, or maybe a question for George that I've missed?
Well, I've been listening with a great deal of interest, talking about, the possibility that some kind of genetic program is going on here, the creation of transgenic beings, as Bud Hopkins has written about in his latest book. And I think all this connects together is that, you know, there's obviously, and of course we've been talking to Dr. David Jacobs, who has some similar theories, and Dr. Jacobs and Bud Hopkins worked together on this problem. And I think we're pretty close to seeing what's going on here. Is just as many thousands of years ago, and I'm talking about going back 30,000-40,000 years in time, is something happened to our species? Is something changed? And we move from being what was Homo sapiens that evolved somewhere around 150,000-200,000 years ago and supposedly moved out of Africa and traveled across the planet. But something else happened around 35,000 years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, we were different beings. We were capable of doing things that we weren't capable of it prior to that time.
The thing I've noticed is that George Ritter, you seem comfortable with the conclusions you've reached, and you're able to live with them, and they are logical. When you have the experiences you've had. And I think that's admirable. You seem to be well adjusted.
Well, it's an ongoing thing. A person in my situation, and I do have to give Bud Hopkins a lot of kudos there. He's a swell person. And in 1989, I wrote to him, and he called me one night, and I told the people that he had called, that he was going to call me. And that's a prank call, people do them, and you shut up and laugh. And when that phone rang, hello, George? I said, yes. I said, this is Bud Hopkins. I said, who is this really? So he said, no, this is really Bud Hopkins, don't hang up. So we got talking, and that man came from New York City to Toledo, Ohio. He had me meet him at the Sheraton Hilton Hotel and put me under, and what I wanted to get at was the examination, what all they did, because that was what I couldn't really put together the right way. And the man did it all for nothing. I was there prepared to pay for whatever it took, because I knew he was probably one of the best, or if not the best. And he said, you don't owe me a thing, George. Now, what kind of dedication is that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Jerry, I really think that, you know, he's hit the nail on the head there. His Bud is very dedicated to what he's doing, and I think it's taken him some time to come up with some conclusions about what's really going on here, but I think that we're getting close to seeing the reality, as I was saying, is it something happened in the past, and something may be happening in the present. That is along the same lines is that there's another mutation in the human species being undertaken by these ETs, and hopefully for our benefit as well as theirs, that's really what we're seeing the process starting now. And
yeah, you're right, George. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is help us try to take a step up. And if they can get that done, maybe all of us will live through this. But oh boy, I wish I had this job.
Well, George Ritter, will be doing this again, and we appreciate you checking us out on the web regularly, listening to our shows. And more than that, we appreciate you sharing your story with us. And it doesn't sound like it's coming to an end anytime soon, as you keep taking those pictures, okay?
I sure do, and I think that many of my all the work you've done, I think the best up there, and all your viewers are going to have a chance to see, too. That's the only reason I do that, so I can show other people.
Thank you very much, George Ritter.
Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Well, Larry, very interesting fellow and an interesting show and one heck of an experience.
Certainly is. I mean, you know, George's pictures are certainly outstanding in of themselves, but the whole story of what's been going on in his life, basically since his birth, and right up through his years of service with the armed forces and some really strange events.
And so am I, and I always like to have somebody come on that shows that you can be in the Army and be a human being.
Yes.
Because of the stereotypes.
I didn't leave, but I'm glad you said that.
Thank you very much, George. We've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Jerry, George Ritter certainly had an interesting abduction experience when he was in the military, and there were some other strange things going out in California, which is where I think he said his abduction experience occurred. This was back in the 1960s. We have the actual voice recording of UFOs over Edwards Air Force Base. These are the flight controllers talking amongst themselves. And we've used this before, but it's always worth hearing again, because folks, this is for real. This is not something that's made up in Hollywood. This actually happened. It was actually recorded, and here it is.
The tape was recorded on October 7th, 1965. Strange lights were reported near Edwards Air Force Base in California. Soon, Air Force personnel in three different control towers had the objects in sight, visually and on radar. Remember that these are not casual observers. They are highly trained, experienced men, familiar with the skies and virtually everything in them. We begin with a segment from a call to the base commanding officer explaining the situation.
We have about four objects have been in the system for over an hour in the vicinity of towards Victorville. Actually, they're pretty close to over San Bernardino. Everybody around has had radar and visual ops on them. They're flashing lights, etc. Running in the vicinity of old 4 to 12,000 feet, various observations.
The scene now shifts to the desert as the air controllers try to track and identify the strange objects.
The impression was 135, and it should have been about a 145.
I have one in that area.
You have one in that area?
All three of them in a row.
Yay!
About 145. Okay, March approach has been in these three also.
Right, if you have 1090, we do not have that one, but we do have the other two.
The tower? Yes, it's
supersonic reconnaissance plane. You will hear the towers working in unison as they try to direct the fighter to intercept the targets they have on their radar scopes.
Okay, sir.
Yes, sir.
WD. Okay, Alpha 01 is operating about 195-15.
Personnel and the pilot were debriefed without result. So far as we know, the strange lights have never been explained.
Well, I've enjoyed it, Larry Dickin. We're out of time. I urge people to check our website. We have lots of interviews of lots of people, all on demand, 24/7. Anytime you want to check us out at jerrypippin.com. Any parting words?
Everybody stay alert, keep your eyes to the skies, and report those sightings to jerryclippin.com.
Okay, I've enjoyed it, Larry, and watch out for those flying saucers. Good night.